Come on, let's lift up the name of Jesus Christ. There is none other in heaven or on earth. Welcome to another episode of Hope in Christ with Denise, here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast, where we place our hope in the only hope there is, Christ our Lord.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. I am your host, Minister Denise Walker, and I welcome you back to today's show. Today we have another interview with a phenomenal Christian author. And before she comes on to introduce herself, I'm going to open us up with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, O God, again for this opportunity. We thank you, O God, for this time. And we pray for those that are listening, Lord. We pray, O God, for every provision, everything that is needed, that you would provide, Lord. We pray, O God, for our presenter today, our author spotlight. And we just thank you, O God, for what you're doing in her life. We thank you, O God, that if someone is listening to her interview, that it would spark a fire in them to do what you have called them and purposed them to do. Lord, we thank you and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. Again, I'm your host, Minister Denise Walker, and I welcome you back to today's show. And remember, at Hope in Christ, we are healthy, we are overcomers, we have purpose, and we maintain an eternal perspective as we seek our true identity in Christ. So, without further ado, we are going to have a phenomenal, awesome author come on to introduce herself. I love her books. I just want to say that before she introduces herself. And I know that you will, too. So we're going to have Natasha Frazier introduce herself and tell us a little bit about herself.
Hey, thank you, Denise. I am author Natasha Frazier. I live in the Houston, Texas area with my husband and three kids. I've been writing since 2012, released my first book, which was a 30-day devotional and journal called The Life Your Spirit Craves. And to date, I've published 13 books, with my latest book, With Every Breath, published early October 2021.
Thank you. Thank you, Natasha, for joining us. So just before we jump into the book, tell us, when did you know or when did you realize that you were called to write?
How far do you want me to go back? Because I can go back, like, way, way back. So, let's see. Around the age of 15, I was in high school, my mom left a copy of one of her arabesque romance books lying around. And she would buy these books all the time from Walmart. But she would never read them. So one day, you know, I asked her if I could read it. And she was like, sure, you know. She didn't care. She was like, okay. And so ever since then, I just kind of fell in love with romance and the written word. But, you know, as I grew in my relationship with Christ and the idea of writing, you know, was beginning to be impressed upon my heart, you know, I was trying to find a way to balance, you know, my love for romance and also being a vessel for Christ. You know, I wanted my work to represent my relationship with him. So fast forward, I go to college, and my major was business administration. And at the, you know, the freshmen get a chance to go to school first for like a week or so. And as me and one of my hall mates were walking around campus, finding our classes, we went into the College of Liberal Arts building. And there I see this sign talking about different things you could do if you majored in English. And one of the things was writing. And for like a half a second, I thought about changing my major. But then, of course, I'm thinking, I can't make any money from doing that. You know, I'm in college to make money, so I'm just going to keep my major. But eventually I did change my major to accounting. So fast forward, again, go to grad school, and the idea of writing was being impressed upon my heart a little bit more. I started sending devotional and, you know, little writings to my friends, and they would be like, oh, you should write a book. But of course, at that time, I'm focused on my studies because, of course, trying to graduate. So, let's see. We get to 2009, and I can see this so clearly because our pastor had challenged us to come up with our plans, our goals for the year. And, of course, I did, and all I wrote was, like, write a book. And it's funny because, you know, they at the church that I was attending at the time, we had a camera crew, and so at that time, there was a film rolling of me, like, waving my little planner high in the air proudly about how I was going to write this book. I didn't write it. This was 2009. So fast forward to 2011. Now the idea of writing a book is impressed upon my heart so hard to the point where, you know, I just started praying about it. Like, Lord, if this is what you want me to do, then, you know, I need some guidance from you. Because, you know, every time I went to church or I was studying my Bible, I felt like that was what God was leading me to do. And so that same night after I prayed this prayer, I read Joshua 18:3, which says, how long are you going to wait before you take possession of the land the Lord your God has already given to you? And so for me, that reminded me of my own procrastination and all of the things that I had been putting in the way because, you know, I'm thinking, I don't have the resources or I don't have the time. Because, you know, at this time, I just had my first child, and she was about one. So, of course, I'm thinking I'm just not necessarily in a position or I have the time to start writing books. So 2012 comes, and I just finished listening to T.D. Jakes on TBN, and he had gone off. And at this time, I'm just sitting on the floor playing with my baby. And this lady comes on TV, and she starts talking about this book she was supposed to write. And then she goes on to say how she had, like, the title of the book and the titles of some of the chapters, but she never did anything with it, and how she had gone to this prayer conference or something, and the speaker called her forward and whispered the title of the book and the chapters that she had in her ear. And she was just so amazed by it. But she still had never written the book. And she had gone on to say how, you know, when God gives us a vision, like, it's not for us. It's for him to get the glory and to get something done through us. You know, at that point, I decided, like, I didn't want to be the person holding on to what God had given me and not doing anything with it. So, to answer your question, after that time, I started writing. And so I've been writing since then.
Wow. I like the way you said, you know, it's for God's glory because God gives us something and we just, you know, we battle fear, we battle all kind of things because we kind of focus on ourselves but not realizing that he wants to do something through us. And whether it's one person or 10,000 people, you know, when we do what he said, it's, you know, obedience. And so it reaches that person. So thank you for sharing that. The second question I have for you is, how long, so the current book, and I know different books, you know, being a writer myself, take different time frames, especially fiction. So how long did it actually take you to finish this current book?
Like the first draft, it took me a little over a month to write. I had this big aggressive goal at the beginning of the year that I kind of decided was too much along the way. But it took me, about 6 weeks, 6 or 7 weeks to write it.
And can you tell the audience how long it is?
How long is it? It is about 21 chapters, I believe. I consider it like a little novella. It's about 44,000 words.
Wow. So over time, you know, you find yourself writing a little bit faster, I guess you would say.
Yeah. Like sometimes the first draft can be easy, just depending on, you know, what you're writing and, like, how many times you can get into that groove. Because I write at night a lot of times. And so I find myself, you know, sometimes stopping because, okay, you know you need to get in the bed sort of thing. But sometimes I just like forget it. Let me just get through this until the words stop flowing.
I like that. I like that because that kind of works for me. You know how some people have, you know, plans, well, we're going to write 5,000 words today and 5,000 words tomorrow. It does not flow that way for me. So I like the idea of writing until it just you're done. So you're done with that session of writing. So the next question is, tell us the title of the book and what it's about.
So the title of the book is With Every Breath. It is the first book in a new series I'm starting, called the McCall Family Series. And it's about a motivational speaker. Her name is Nina Marie Robinson. She receives this prognosis that she only has 30 days left to live. And so with the time she has left, she has to give one last speech at the commencement ceremony at her alma mater, which is Jackson State University, my alma mater too. And so after that, she plans to take this vacation that she's put off so many times to the Bahamas. But she wants her ex-boyfriend, her college sweetheart, to go with her, who happens to be an associate professor at Jackson State. And so they hadn't spoken in over 15 years since they broke up. And his name is Andrew McCall. And so he is on the verge of being promoted to professor. He's on the verge of reaching tenure. That's what he's working on. But if anything goes wrong with that, he'll have to go home, as he promised his father, to take his place as CEO of McCall Resorts because his family owns this luxury resort. And so going to the Bahamas with her could mean that he could miss out on this opportunity to become professor and have to go home to his family where he does it. That's the last place he wants to be. I'm excited. So he's going to have to choose between her and what he's been working for.
And you know, I always say I normally don't read romance, but the way you write romance is just so sweet. And you know, like you said, you tie the word into the book. So another fun kind of question, you know how those of us that write fiction, our characters are always talking in our head, and we have fun creating those characters. So tell me, which character did you have the most fun creating as you were writing?
Actually, it's Andrew's brother. His brother is Darius McCall. And I say that because he is the one with the most, he has issues. he has issues with Andrew because he wants to step into his father's place as CEO. But Andrew's presence causes a problem for him. So he is just, like, really up in arms about the whole thing. It's sort of like a prodigal son sort of thing when it comes to Andrew. So I really enjoyed writing Darius' part. And in my mind, if this were a movie, Denzel Washington's son, John David Washington, would play him, would play Darius, the brother. So if anybody knows him, you know, call him and send him to me.
Amen. I love it. I love it. I love it. So tell me, so what are your plans for this book?
Well, for one, like I said, it is a series. And so I'm just hoping to reach people and encourage them and entertain them with it. And just to let them know that, you know, no matter what we go through, to stand strong in our faith, because so many things can happen and are happening right now, more than we've seen in the last few years, that can cause us to waver. But just knowing that no matter what, God still loves us. He's still in pursuit of us. And he still wants to be in relationship with us. And so throughout the whole series, that's the central message. And to just have faith and love, you know, because sometimes we lose faith in that as well. So, but if we can get a movie deal, yes, that's where I want to be. I already have my characters, Denise.
That would be awesome. So who would be the other characters? I know you said his brother, but who would the other characters be?
So for, and there, I've just, they're who I want them to be now. I've given them all new names. So Andrew's mom, Rose McCall, she would be played by Afri Woodard. So she's one of my my favorite actresses, too. And I just felt like she would truly, truly bring her to life. So Ernie Hudson would be the father, Jeffrey McCall. Kim Brockington would be Nina Marie Robinson. And Lance Gross would be Andrew McCall.
That sounds like an awesome, awesome lineup.
I know. Somebody call them.
Yes. We believe, God, that it is so because, like I said, it is very inspirational what I see you write. And it just really, I think it's on-time words, the way you weave your characters. So we just believe God for that.
Amen.
So as you were creating this book, what would you say was your most surprising thing that you learned, or even just as a writer over time, what has been your most surprising thing you've learned?
You know, it's funny. So I'm usually a pantser, and I still kind of consider myself one. But I've always just kind of felt like writing an outline would be restrictive. And so for this book, in a sense, I did a mini sort of outline, more like, I mean, it wasn't in-depth or anything, but it gave me a little bit more direction of where I wanted it to go. And it was just surprising to see that I was still able to flow the story while doing that, in a sense. There were some times where I kind of felt restrictive and I just kind of went off and just let the characters decide, but for the most part, I did stick to the structure of how I wanted the story to go. And I'll tell you this, and it must, I don't know if it means I'm lazy, but I feel like if I'm going to sit there and do an outline, it's almost like I'm writing twice. Does that make sense? It's, you know, it's like I'm double working myself almost if I'm going to do this detailed outline. I don't know.
And, you know, as you were talking, I was like that too. When I first started writing, I was like, okay, just get the computer and just start writing and let the Holy Spirit lead me. And, but the outline helped, but also I agree because I know some people write down their story, like write on paper. And I always say, so I would have to write it on paper and then put it on the computer. Oh, so that's writing twice. So I can relate to what you're saying.
That's the work. I'm just trying to get this story out.
So so another question is, could you say you've ever had writer's block, and how did you handle it?
Yes, I feel like I have it all the time. I'm actually writing book 3 now. And it usually comes like when I need to do a little bit of research on something. So right now I'm in the middle of researching memory loss. And so I can't necessarily get past it until I'm comfortable in that, you know, in the research and what I've learned and how it can apply to my characters. But in the instance that's not the case, I'll just tell myself, okay, just, like, write 100 words. That'd be my goal. Like, just get 100 words down and, you know, you've done your duty for today. And a lot of times, I'd say probably 95% of the time, I may get 500 words, 1,000 words, but a lot of times my writer's block may come from me, mind being on something else, again, like knowing I need to go to bed because it's late, and I've spent all day probably fooling around when I, at times when I have set aside time to write and I'm doing something else, so it's probably one of those issues. From time to time, like, you know, not making the best of my time. But when I do have writer's block, that's what I say. If you can just get 100 words, you're good.
I like that. That makes sense. Especially, I'm like you. I get stuck and I just stay there, or I get up and move or walk away or something. And sometimes I don't come back until the next time. That really works, that writing at least get 100 words, because once you, if your mind is just on 100 words, then you can, you know, you'll find yourself writing even more. So that's some good advice.
And then you feel good because you're like, hey, I did 200, you know. I don't surpass my goal.
I wasn't sure if you, you know, if you have the book right there with you to be able to read a quick excerpt from it.
Of course I have it.
So the audience can hear it.
Of course.
So you can take a moment and read an excerpt from it.
Okay. So I will start where Nina goes to see Andrew. So she goes to town. She goes to Jackson, Mississippi, because she's speaking at Jackson State's commencement ceremony. So she goes a few days early because she wants to see Andrew now. And I am going to pick up when he first lays eyes on her. She knocks on the door. He invites her to come in. And this is Andrew. Andrew loosened the Windsor knot that suddenly seemed too tight to give passage to the oxygen that needed in and the carbon monoxide that needed out, making it possible for him to breathe as his gaze rested on his heart, standing in the doorway to his office. The sight before him left him momentarily paralyzed, made him forget to breathe. Nina Robinson in the flesh, more beautiful than the day she'd left and more stunning than she appeared on his TV or internet streaming services. Though he'd given the invitation to enter his office, she hesitated. She arched her eyebrows as if to question his certainty. Her slightly slanted hazelnut eyes still had a way of boring into his soul. His gaze traveled the length of her, taking in her bronze skin and 5'5" frame clad in fitted jeans, a long-sleeved emerald tee, and sleeveless puffed vest. He'd mentally tried to prepare for the moment he'd see her, giving her speech at the graduation ceremony, and she was 4 days early, too early. Andrew gently shook his head to ensure Nina wasn't a figment of his imagination, ran an open palm over his face, and blinked to clear his vision. After the way she'd left him, the last thing he wanted was for her to know that her presence still had the ability to make his heart forget its purpose. He pushed back from his desk, stood, and closed the distance between them. Wow, today must be my lucky day. Come in, Nina. He fought the urge to draw her into his arms, but Nina withheld nothing. Without an invitation, she thrust her arms around his waist and squeezed like her life depended on it. This had been the moment he'd waited for 15 years ago, expected her to change her mind, admit she was wrong about them, and come back to him. Nina in his arms again had been like an eagle to his nest, home. He inhaled deeply and reveled in the scent of her, powdery and feminine. His chin rested atop of her hair, and for a moment, he allowed himself the pleasure of having her in his arms again. But this wasn't real, and she would only be there a short time. He couldn't and wouldn't get caught up in the coulda, shoulda, woulda merry-go-round of thoughts. There you go.
Awesome, awesome. I love it, love it, love it. I could picture him standing there waiting to embrace her, so that was awesome. And, you know, I have my copy already, so I just haven't had a chance to read it, but I will.
Yeah, you got to read it. Let me know what you think when you get a chance to read it.
Yes, I will. I will. And thank you. Thank you for sharing the excerpt. So the next set of questions are just general questions. One question is, what to you, what does literary success look like? So to you, what does literary success look like?
For me, for a reader to read the book and get it. You know, it's like we get each other, to read it and understand where I was going with it, to feel the characters, to feel connected to them and get the message. Like, that's success for every book, you know. That's the biggest measure of success for me, for a reader to read the book and love it and understand the message that was given in the story.
Amen, amen, because we have our own audience, So whoever God has for us
right.
to read the book, that audience, and that's the one who is going to reach as well as they get it. And my next question is, what would you say are some common traps that aspiring authors get themselves into?
Probably comparison. And that can be with anything, but, you know, looking at one author and, you know, comparing their work to theirs, or thinking that, you know, they have so much more success and, oh, maybe I can't be as successful. And, you know, that's a terrible trap to get caught up in, because everybody has their own journey. And what you see on the outside may not be what's happening on the inside. And so you have to understand and know that your road is your own, your path is your own, that God has created for you. And to stay the course on that path and be open to what, you know, what God has for you, because what God has for you is may not be the same thing that he has for someone else. And your journey may not be the same as someone else, and oftentimes is not the same as the next person.
Absolutely, absolutely. I totally agree. And my next question is there, if you could give advice, one thing that you would say other than what you just said, to an aspiring writer. Sometimes people are just so fearful to write, or they think, like you said earlier, they just can't do it for whatever reason. What advice would you give that person?
My advice always is to just write. And it sounds so simple, but just even if you got to write it by hand, even if you got to spend 10 minutes doing it, but you have to start. And just knowing that that first draft is not going to be perfect. That's why it's called the first draft. You know, you get to go in and make changes to it, and then you get to send it off to an editor who can help make it even better. But the point is to just write. Whether you're writing 100 words, you know, that's how I trick myself sometimes, or, you know, whether you're spending 10, 15 minutes, or, you know, whatever it is you have to do, but you have to decide for yourself, like, what that is that's going to, you know, get you to that place to sit down in front of the keyboard or with your tablet in your hand. My very first book was written by hand first. I'll never do that again. So, yeah, you just got to write.
Amen, amen. We do. We just have to write. And so my next question is, what scripture would you say is your go-to as you, I know you've written several books now, but sometimes we get to that place where, you know, we just need to encourage ourselves in the word. So what scripture would you say is that scripture that you just pull from your spirit, or you just find yourself saying to yourself to keep you moving forward?
Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you wherever you may go. Because, you know, every time I get to the place of, you know, getting ready to release another book, like, you don't know how it's going to be received. But just knowing that God has been with me throughout the writing process, and believing that he's still with me through the publication as well, is the encouragement that I have for me, because I know why I'm doing it. I know who has given me the ability to do it, and I know who's leading me to do it. And so with that in mind, that's what I hold on to. God is with me wherever I go, whatever I do. He's there along the way.
Love it, love it, love it. And, you know, we also know that he gave us the instructions. And so, like you said, don't be afraid. And that reminds me of the scripture where God told Moses and so many others that I'm with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to tell you what to say. I'm going to give you the words to speak. I'm going to lead and guide you. So I love it, love it. Thank you for sharing that. And my last question is, how can they connect with you, reach out to you? I know you also have some devotionals. So before you tell them about how to connect with you, can you tell them a little bit about your devotionals that you write, some of the titles that you have?
Yeah, so my most recent devotional / Bible study book. It's a nine-session book called Pursuit, Exploring God's Endless Quest for My Heart. And that book is just about encouraging people to know that, you know, God has been pursuing you ever since the beginning. And so we use examples of people like Moses and David and Gideon and so on to show how God was in pursuit of them for us to see the same way through different events throughout our lives, like how God has been pursuing our hearts. Like no matter what it is we go through, it all leads back to God wants our heart. So that's Pursuit. I also have a one-year devotional called Not Without You, 365 Days in the Lord's Presence. And that's exactly what it is. It's a one-year devotional every day where you spend time reading the Word with additional scripture readings. And there's also a prayer journal, a corresponding prayer journal that goes along with that devotional day for day. And I have the Like Your Spirit Craves. It's a 30-day devotional that encourages readers to seek what it is that God is leading them to do and to just do it, to get over whatever it is that's holding you back and do what it is God is leading you to do. So addressing those excuses, you know, about time and resources and whether or not people are going to support you or whatever excuse it is that the reader may have, knowing that God has something for every excuse you got. He just needs your availability and for you to move and do what he is leading you to do. And there's also the Like Your Spirit Craves for Mummies. And that one is more of a personal one for me because I use my own personal experiences that I had as a mother with my children were a little younger. That book came out in 2016, 5 years ago. And so just through my relationship with my children and different conversations and things that, you know, we've gone through together, I can see my relationship with God through my relationship with them because it's so funny. You think about kids begging you for stuff over and over again. And you have to look, you haven't done the last thing I told you to do. You know, why are you asking me for that? And, oh, you know, God's the same thing. You haven't done the last thing I told you to do, but you're asking me for, you know, X, Y, Z. And so it's that kind of thing. You know, I can always see God in, you know, in my relationship with him a lot of times when I'm flipping too. So thank you, God, for your grace.
I love it. I love it. And so tell the audience how they can connect with you, how they can purchase your book, and how they can reach out to you.
So the first place is always my website, natashafrazier.com. There you can purchase autograph copies. If you want the Kindle version of any book, you can just there's a link on the side where you click ebooks and it'll take you straight to my author Kindle page. Also, I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as my name, author_Natasha Frazier on Instagram and author_Natasha F on Twitter. And on Facebook, it's just my name, Natasha Frazier. And if you're on BookBub, follow me on BookBub, Natasha D. Frazier.
Thank you, thank you, thank you for joining us this evening. And again, those that are listening or have listened to Natasha, please, please, please check out her romance novels and also her devotionals. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. So again, thank you, Natasha, for coming on the show. And I'm going to pray us out. So, Father, we thank you, O God, for Natasha. We thank you for what you are doing through her, Lord. We pray that you will continue to bless her. You will continue to keep her in the words that you have given her to write on the pages of the books you've given her. Lord, we thank you for those that are listening. We pray, O God, for someone to have heard something that sparked them, Lord. And we just give you glory for you putting purpose and creating us with purpose, putting it on the inside of us. And we just thank you and we praise you and we give you glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And so again, thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Hope in Christ with Denise here on Kingdom Influencers Broadcast. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and also Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you have a prayer request, please reach out to me at denise@hope-in-christ.com. That's denise@hope-in-christ.com. www.highend-christ.com. Have a phenomenal rest of your week.